Hi, this is Carl Etnayer. Welcome back to Equal Time Radio. For the rest of the show, we're going to be talking with State Senator Ginny Lyons. She's chair of the Natural Resources and Energy Committee. We'll be putting Vermont's energy work in a national context. If you'd like to join the conversation, our number here is 244-1777 in the Waterbury area, or 877-291-8255 from wherever you may happen to be. Ginny Lyons, welcome back to Equal Time.
Carl, it's good to be here.
And we have a thunderstorm coming your way, I understand.
That's right. It's all around. So if this phone goes off, I'll try and get to another one.
Okay, very good. And if this phone goes off, may we issue a double invitation to our listeners to call in and talk with us. So you've been touting Vermont in a national context. Tell us about what you've been saying about Vermont.
Yes, I have, actually. I was invited to speak at the Women in Government Conference. Women in Government is for national legislators from all the states. And Women in Government traditionally has been looking at women's issues, that is, health care, children's issues, and so on, and I recently have decided to branch out into energy and invited me to talk about Vermont's energy legislation and all the good work that we've been doing in our state for so long. As you talk about what Vermont has done, I realize, and I think everyone realized at the conference, how progressive we are and how far ahead we are in our thinking, as well as in the development of our policy on replacing and building renewable energy sources and doing work to replace oil with new sources of energy. So it was a very rewarding experience to speak with those folks.
And where was this conference?
Where?
Yes.
It was in Washington, D.C.,
okay.
Outside of Washington.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what did you emphasize?
Well, I emphasized, because it was a group that hadn't had a significant experience in the area of energy. There are a few legislators from Maine and a few other states who did have experience. But I tried to sort of build the context for being concerned about energy, and that is the perfect energy storm that we're experiencing. In Vermont, of course, the need for looking at diversifying our portfolio in the event and when Vermont Yankee goes down or is lost, when Hydro-Quebec is renegotiated or changes. And then, of course, the high cost of fuel that we're seeing and the sort of the international, national concerns about the availability of oil. So we're putting that into context and looking at the perfect energy storm for folks, the costs of fuel, of course, are very compelling to everyone, and it did resonate with people at the conference.
So the Vermont Yankee issue, of course, is a regional issue for New England, and Hydro-Quebec is a state issue for Vermont, but these other issues about the cost of fuel and even the availability of fuel are national or international issues. You say that they resonated with the people there. Do you think that they bought into prices increasing and in the next decade pretty dramatically?
Well, I think everyone's eyes have been opened within the past few years, and especially with the economic downturn and a realization that absolutely everything that we do is dependent on fossil fuel. I mean, the products that we buy in stores are developed using fossil fuels. They're transported to us using fossil fuels. So I think there's that. That does resonate with people, and I think it, of course, it does with Vermonters, and I think it did. We did stimulate a lot of thinking. The comments that I heard after the presentation, including a discussion on Vermont's recent energy legislation on standard offer and clean energy assessment districts, the comments were very positive, and people felt like they could go back to their home states and began thinking about legislation that they would like to put in place.
Mm.
So it was rewarding for me. We will be having other meetings in Colorado and in California to continue this work with that group. So it's an exciting opportunity.
Now, is energy a particularly a women's issue, or did you put a particular woman-oriented spin on it when you were giving this presentation to the Women in Government group?
Well, you know, I started out saying that there are three things you need to know in order to deal with energy. The first is the first law of thermodynamics. The second is the second law of thermodynamics. And the third thing is how to dry clothes. And, you know, if you can hang your clothes up on a clothesline, we know that we're saving energy. And so that started the conversation. But there is significant social and environmental justice issues when we start talking about the availability of energy and access to renewable sources of energy. So it very much does relate to folks in that group.
Right, the people who the low-income folks are the ones who are hit earliest, the hardest by rising energy prices.
I really think so. Yeah. And we've tried to do the other thing that I think is important and was important at this conference was a consideration of energy efficiency and talking about how we put in place demand-side management, things that reduce the demand for electricity, or in fact for other fossil fuels, oil, and so on.
Mm. Well, it's been a while since we've talked about the Vermont Energy Act of 2009, which passed the House and the Senate, and Governor Jim Douglas let become law, I believe, on June 1st without his signature. You mentioned two aspects of it that are first in the nation, clean energy assessment districts and standard offers. Let's remind the listeners what those are all about.
Well, I'll start with they're both, I don't know whether one's more difficult to understand than the other, but the standard offer is a renewable energy policy that offers guaranteed payments to renewable energy developers for the electricity they produce. So, in other words, it helps people put generation in place. So a standard offer really helps to provide an incentive for someone who wants to generate electricity from solar or from wind or other renewable sources and put that electricity out onto the grid. So it's an incentive.
And this would not be available to Hydro-Quebec, despite some people calling Hydro-Quebec a renewable source, correct?
Well, it would be available for new sources. And in our bill, in the law, as it currently is written, it goes up to 2.2 megawatts, so it's not a huge amount, but it is enough to get some renewable energy generated.
Does it apply only to in-state facilities, or could someone build a facility out of state?
Yeah, it's our in-state. It was through the current utility, so through Green Mountain Power or CVPS or Washington Electric, and another good part of the of the bill is it allows for the smaller municipal utilities to work together, so they can work with a generator, in-state generator, to stimulate some renewable development.
Mm. Now, some people have objected to this on the grounds that the standard offers are much higher than the going market rate for the baseload electricity. At any rate, you got 30 cents per kilowatt hour, I believe, in the legislation for solar, and I don't remember whether it's 20 or 25 cents per kilowatt hour for wind. Now, what's your response to that?
Well, my response is that if you look at all of the all aspects of the bill and all the issues that are taken into consideration, so any grants that are given to the generator and other savings that the individual who's developing the generator might have, that's sort of subtracted from that standard offer, from the feed-in tariff from the standard offer. So the Public Service Board still has oversight and will still be looking at the most cost-effective payment to these generators. It's not like everyone's going to get 30 cents off right off the top. The Public Service Board will also be looking at any grants that the generator has received and sort of subtracting that out of the 20-year period during which the generator is in place in this standard offer.
So these numbers in the bill are sort of starting points for the Public Service Board discussion, but they'll be setting the actual rates.
That's right. So there'll be a dialogue, there'll be a negotiation in the process between the utility, the Public Service Board, and the generator. They'll all be in the working together on that.
Mm.
And then the other thing is that the utility, in the case of solar and wind, will also gain renewable energy credits, or RECs.
Mm.
So they'll benefit from that, and that's taken into consideration for the generator. So the generator's not getting that benefit, so that's another reason to grant the generator a slightly higher payment.
The renewable energy credits are things that are useful in other states that have a different law around electricity generation.
Exactly. Yep. And when it all sugars off, we will see, as we have some increase in cost for electricity, but we are going to see our rates go up regardless of what happens to Vermont Yankee.
Mm.
We don't know what the power purchase agreement is for that organization yet, so that's for that generator.
Yeah, the numbers that I've seen out of legislative council are that once the full 50 megawatts gets built out, it's about 5% of Vermont's power use, then it would increase electric rates above what they are right now by about 1.5%.
That's for you're talking about the feed-in tariff.
That's correct.
Yeah, no, and that was pretty clear. If it was all built out the way the bill allows, for the maximum amount of megawatts allowed in the law, then the total increase would be a maximum of about 1.5% over our current rates. That translates to a pretty minimal amount on a monthly bill.
And it's also pretty trivial to the amount that electrical rates have gone up in the last decade. I remember 10 years ago when Vermont was suing Hydro-Quebec to get out of these onerous long-term contracts because the prices were so high compared to the market prices.
Yes, aren't we glad we didn't get out of those long-term contracts?
We're glad we lost that lawsuit and we have those contracts in place till 2012 or 2015 because it's the cheapest electricity around right now almost.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're talking with State Senator Ginny Lyons. She is the director of the Natural Resources and Energy Committee, the chair of it in the State Senate, and we're talking about Vermont energy legislation. The number here, if you'd like to join us, is 244-1777 and toll-free 877-291-8255. And you're tuned to WDEV. I'm Carl Etnayer here on Equal Time. So, Ginny Lyons, the clean energy assessment districts are also something new in this bill and new in the nation. Can you tell us about those?
Sure. It's kind of neat. The clean energy assessment district actually is something that the Vermont League of Cities and Towns was very positive about, and in fact highlighted as one of its biggest, I would say, wins for that organization, for the Vermont League, this legislative session. But what the Energy Assessment District is it's a tool that makes it easier for Vermonters to invest in energy efficiency and renewable energy projects. It's a voluntary program so that allows municipalities to work with individual property owners, and so it can be a number of folks from different parts of the same town who get together and decide, well, we personally would like to invest in solar panels, or another person might want to invest in an efficiency project, or another person might want to invest in small wind. So all of these individuals get together with the municipality, and the municipality would help with the funding. So it could be through a bond or another financing mechanism, and then the property owner would pay the town back through their regular an assessment on their individual property taxes or on a municipal bill. So it doesn't affect anyone who doesn't want to be affected, and a town doesn't have to do this, but it can vote to do this.
Mm.
But there are a lot of towns, apparently there are a number of towns in the state who are very excited about this and are ready to go.
I just I wrote an article about this in the Times Argus Rutland Herald just over a week ago, and in response to that got a call this morning from a guy in Chelsea who's interested in finding out about how Chelsea could participate in it.
That's excellent. And you know, it's it will take some time, it takes some thinking, but I know that the for listeners who might be interested in this, I know that the Vermont League and Karen Horn in particular at the Vermont League of Cities and Towns would probably be a good contact person.
Right, and the Vermont League of Cities and Towns it is an organization of and for the cities and towns. So if you're in a town and would like to see about a clean energy assessment district coming to your town, then the best way to contact them is through a member of your select board, or if you have an energy committee, have the energy committee member collect them, because that's their who they're there to serve. Is that about your understanding as well?
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the energy committees that have been working around the state have a good handle on the types of things that, that folks are interested in, and they'll probably be the key players in having a municipality actually become or establish a clean energy assessment district.
Hmm. And one interesting thing about the districts is, as I understand it, the boundaries need not be the same as a town or the city boundaries. In fact, I've heard some people say that for the smaller towns, this will work best for them if they band together and make one big district or rope in a nearby city, which has more administrative capacity.
Absolutely. Right, bottom line on this is that a lot of people would really like to invest in renewable energy projects or in energy efficiency projects, but it costs a lot of money to do that up front. And when you start thinking about adding that, you don't get the long-term loans from lenders usually. And so this would allow for a longer-term payback. And it also will allow for the investment to run with the property. So if you put up a solar panel and you add that into your property taxes or pay back with a regular municipal bill, then if you sold your property, it would just continue to be that way. So the person who would buy the property would continue to pay off that loan on the solar panel or whatever it is. So it's kind of it's a great benefit both to the homeowner or the business owner and as it is to the municipality.
Yeah, there are a lot of homes in Vermont that could benefit from a cost-effective upgrade or addition of a renewable energy system like solar hot water or even solar electricity that has a payback time of 20 years or so. But it's hard to get loans for that, and a lot of people don't have the money to put that up front. So it's really nice to have the issue of upfront cost pretty much eliminated by this, because you would get a very low interest long-term loan, and the way the bill's set up, your payments back on the loan would be less than the calculated savings that you would get from making the investment.
Exactly. You've said it right on.
And as you were talking earlier, State Senator Ginny Lyons, about your presentation to the Women in Government Conference in Washington, D.C., and these other conferences that will be continuing in Colorado, you mentioned one other place, I got to thinking, you know, Vermont is ahead of so many other states. It's too bad that there's not energy-related tourism. I mean, you can look at legislation over the internet, so that's harder to attract people here. But then I see you're working with the Council of State Governments who will be coming to Burlington later on this summer, correct? correct?
That's right. August 2nd through 5th, the Council for State Governments, Eastern, possibly Southern region, will be meeting in Burlington at the Hilton for, you know, those 3 days. And we will be looking at economic development. Certainly the current trend in the economy is one of concern to all legislators. But we're combining that with a look at energy as well as other areas, and sharing information. And two of the workshops that I've been helping out on, one includes energy funding, which would allow for us to talk about the feed-in tariff, the energy assessment districts, and the Clean Energy Development Fund. And then another workshop on energy will be devoted to energy efficiency and related areas. So we're very excited about having legislators from other states come in and listen to and learn from one another about, you know, what we've done in Vermont, but there are other states that are doing some good things in the East as well. And so we'll be sharing information. We'll be listening to what folks are doing with their American Recovery and Reinvestment Funds, whether it's in energy or other areas. So very excited about it.
Is this something that would be open to members of the general public or maybe select board members from Vermont who wanted to hear what was going on in other states?
You know, it's really for folks who register, who are legislators, but I would think one of the organizers is Carolyn Partridge, of Southern Vermont, and Bill Doyle of Washington County, and I don't know what the rules are about attendees coming in from the community. I would think, as I've seen in other conferences of this type, there may be an opportunity for folks to come in and visit for a day or pick out a workshop. I don't know the answer to that, but I can help you find that answer and then get it back to your listeners if they're interested.
Okay, if they're interested, they could contact Carolyn Partridge or Bill Doyle directly. They're both on the legislative website. Bill Doyle is a senator from Washington County. Carolyn Partridge is a representative from, as you said, the southern part of the state and the chair of the House Agriculture Committee.
That's right.
Well, State Senator Ginny Lyons, the chair of the Senate Natural Resources and Energy Committee, you told this group in Washington, D.C., the Women in Government, that there are three things that you need to understand to understand energy. The third was how to dry clothes. And I understand because of this new energy bill, it's a little easier to dry clothes in Vermont.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The right to conserve energy is something that members of our committee felt very strongly about, one member in particular. And we had testimony. We tried to find testimony against the right to dry clothes. And believe me, we searched high and low for people who would come in and testify against this going into law. And we couldn't find anyone.
And this right to dry.
So,
this right to dry does what?
It allows for you
15
to
seconds,
hang
please.
Your clothes up on a clothesline.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The right to conserve energy allows for you to put a solar panel or a small wind turbine or other energy efficient, you know, conservation measure on your property, and it certainly means you have to follow the rules in the
right.
process. But it's a unique law.
Okay.
I believe Florida has a law similar to this, but. We honestly...
Okay, we're about out of time, so I'm...
Oh, sorry.
Ginny Lyons, the chair of the Natural Resources and Energy Committee in the Vermont Senate, thanks so much for joining us and explaining how Vermont leads the nation.
Thank you, Carl. It's been great.
So there you have it, from citizens in the Mad River Valley working together, plus statewide issues working through the legislature. Vermont is doing wonderful things in the transition to an oil-scarce future. I'm Carl Ettenayer. That's it for Monday's Equal Time. I'll be back next Monday at 1 o'clock. Equal Time team continues tomorrow with Travin. We'll be talking about the situation in Iran. Anthony Polina is in Wednesday and Thursday. On Friday, Tom Hartman hosts Brunch with Bernie, an hour of conversation with Vermont's favorite independent senator, Bernie Sanders. Check EqualTimeRadio.com for podcasts of the show that Travin and I host. Artie Levine produced the show.
More podcasts of Equal Time Radio are available at www.equaltimeradio.com.